Well, you know, we're starting off the brand new year, and I just want to encourage you a couple things before we get to the message here. If you are, first of all, if you're a new believer, if you have just started that journey of faith, I do want to say to not only you, but to everyone, one of our models here, what we believe is that there's always room at the table for you. There's always room for everyone. It doesn't matter where you're at in your journey of faith, where you're just trying to figure out who this God is. What is God? What's this Bible all about? You got those kind of questions, there's room for you. If you have been pursuing after the Lord and there's areas of your life you're still not too sure about, there's room for you. If you've been serving the Lord for 30, 40, 50 years, there's room for you. There's a room for everyone at the table here at the Pearl Church, and we want to encourage you to come. But if you're new in the faith, one of the things I want to encourage you is get water baptized. Go through the waters of baptism, the death, burial, and resurrection. You take your public, your private confession of forgiveness and walking right with the Lord. You take that private confession and you make it public, where you say to the body of Christ, I choose to serve Christ as part of the body. And you make that public. And we have opportunities to have water baptism regularly, according as there's need. So come see myself. There's information at the back. One of the tables does have our water baptism material, and we love to have you be a part of that. And the other thing for every one of us, I encourage you to pick up a regular pattern, not only of Bible reading, but of prayer. And we're going to talk about prayer today, but those two things will help you in your journey of faith. As you go, that we draw closer to the Lord, and the two things that God has given us, one is his written word, that we can understand who he is, it's his love letter to us, but also secondly, prayer, it's our communication with the Lord. So as you start the new year, I encourage you with those things. Well, new year, many of us have had perhaps started off with a new year's resolution, and perhaps half of us have already failed in those new year resolutions, because it's a crazy thing that we try to put out there, things that we want to change and all those kind of things. And you know, I believe the Lord is wanting to help us in many of those areas. And one of those areas is prayer. Well, this new series that we're going to talk about is simply face-to-face. Face-to-face. And that is the call of God. And this first scripture tells us what really the Lord wants, desires for you and I. Exodus 33:11. So the Lord spoke to Moses face-to-face as a man speaks to his friend. What a beautiful passage that comes out of the Old Testament for you and I, showing the heart of God, that God does not want to be a distant God in your life. He does not want to be just a happen chance, maybe once in a while get together type of thing. He wants a daily routine where we have a face-to-face kind of relationship with him. And it's amazing. We sang the beautiful song that, you know, this God who doesn't need us, yet he wants to be with us. He wants a relationship with us. And he does this God, this creator, this one that sustains all that we see, that has brought everything to pass, yet comes to us and say, will you spend time with me? Will you have a relationship with me that is like Moses, face to face? And God wants to have that kind of relationship, intimate and close. Well, there's a New Testament passage that talks about this out of the book of Corinthians. And the Apostle Paul, again, writes most of the New Testament for us, but he writes into the church at Corinth, and he says this: whenever, though, they, that's all of us, believers, anyone, the church, turn to face God as Moses did, God removes the veil, and there they are, face to face. They suddenly recognize that God is a living, personal presence, not a piece of chiseled stone. And when God is personally present, a living spirit, that old constricting legislation, the law, the do's and don'ts, recognized as obsolete. We're free from it, all of us. Nothing between us and God. Our faces shining with the brightness of his face. And so we're transfigured, much like the Messiah, our lives gradually becoming brighter, more beautiful as God enters our lives and we become like him. Let's just open in prayer. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that these beautiful passages out of Exodus and Corinthians referring to Moses, Lord, lays a pattern for us that we can have that kind of relationship with you. Lord, I pray today, Lord, that you would stir our hearts, Lord, that you would put in us a beckoning to want to come into that kind of relationship, Lord, that we pursue after you in such a way. So God, help us to understand these beautiful scriptures and encourage us by your word. Amen. You know, when you and I, it says the church, when we turn, When we turn to God, he says he will remove the things that separate us, the barriers, the fears, the doubts. He removes those things in our own heart and our mind that often keep us from God. You know, when we say we're going to go pray and all of a sudden something comes to mind, oh, you're not good enough today. Man, you did this last day. You did that the other day. People talk about you. You know, look at them. They're good, but you can't do it. And all those things, those voices. And God says, I want to take all that away. I want to take the voices, the discouragements of life away from you so you can come into a relationship with me face to face. Nothing between us. You know, James writes, James 4:8, and he says simply this, that if we will draw near to God, he will draw near to us. If we will but with one ounce of faith take a smallest step, if we will but pursue after and say, God, I need to come to you. We just take a small step. God says, I'll take the rest of the way. He says, I'll come to you. You start, I'll finish it. You carry a little bit, I'll carry the heavy load. That's the God that we serve. God says, I'll come to you. We draw near to God. God will draw near to us. He wants proximity. You know, in the world today, there are immutable laws. Help me out here. One of the laws is the law of gravity, and it's simply this. What goes up must come down. You can't change that. You can go out and try it, and halfway down, you're going to rethink it. No, it ain't working. I'm going down. Well, one of the other laws is the second law of thermodynamics. Everybody got that one? It's the law of atrophy. It's the law of diminishing. That basically it's this. Anything left to itself will ultimately rust, fall apart. It ultimately goes into chaos and disorder. You leave something out long enough, it rusts, doesn't it? Moth-eaten. Something happens to it, it crumbles, it falls apart. And for you and I, it's like in our relationship with God. If we leave our relationship with God by itself, never touching it, and we think we got it, it's going to not go forward, it goes backwards. If you do not foster it intentionally, no matter how long you've been saved, no matter how many certificates you have on your wall that I had perfect attendance in Sunday school, always brought my Bible, then all of a sudden you look at those every day and say, man, I got it together, but you don't pray, you don't go to church, you don't read your Bible anymore. You've got the law that's going to take place that things are going to get worse, not better. And God wants you and I to be a people that say, God, I need more of you. God, I need to rekindle, repassion, get a fervency in my heart for you, because if I don't, it's going to die out, and it's constantly pursuing after God. And the greatest privilege and key to that relationship we have is a thing called prayer. What's prayer? Simply this, communicating with God, talking to God. It's coming into a dialogue. It's a two-way where God speaks to you and you speak to God. It's amazing in the world. When you tell people, yeah, man, I'm praying, I'm talking to God. People go, oh, that's good. But whenever you say, God spoke to me, they go, you're crazy. But isn't that what dialogue is? Communication is? It's two-way. It's where God not only hears us, he speaks to us. And prayer is the thing that fortifies the relationship. The thing that causes our walk with God to get stronger, not weaker. Causes us to have victories, not lose out. Causes us to press in when all of a sudden we go through difficulties, we go in prayer. What do? We draw near to God, and he draws near to us. My question to you is, we come to the new year, is simply this. How's your relationship with God? How's your relationship with God? Well, that's hard, so let me just say this. Because prayer is the key to your relationship with God, let me boil it down to this. How's your prayer life? Because your prayer life will determine your relationship with God. So how is your prayer life? Talked about resolutions. Look at the calendar like it's a do-over, right? That year's over. This is going to be a better year. It's going to be a do-over, right? We look at the calendar and we flip the page and we go, hey, we're going to start something new. We're going to start something new in our life. Do something better. Things are going to be different than last year. And for most of us, it boils down to two words. It's either less or more. You either want to have less or you want to have more. You want to have less weight, less debt, less wasted time. You want to have less of the distractions of life. Or it's maybe you want more. You want more finances, more in the sense of your job, your career. You want more time with the family. You want more exciting events. You want more of something. And the Bible really brings it down to John the Baptist, who says, God, it's all about less of me and more of you. And that is really the whole functionality of what our Christian walk should be. God, it's less of me and more of you. And as we look at our life, where is the less and where is the more? Because God wants, and you and I need to have where it's less maybe sin, less habits, less distractions, less gossip, less angry thoughts, less bitterness. There's less that we want in our relationship with God. But there's also more we want. We want maybe more prayer time. I want to go to church more. I want to pray more. I want to worship, be with God's people more. There is a more that should be in our lives too. There's a less, but there's also more. But as we come to the new year, can I suggest possibly just there's one thing that will change your marriage, will change your family relationships, will change how you respond at work. It'll change your spiritual walk. And the one thing that if you'll just pursue after this would have such a dynamic, and that is simply this. Could you this year get just a little closer to God? Could you just take one more step? Could you somehow in your life say, God, I'm going to come closer until ultimately I'm face to face. God wants to have you and I where we have a prayer life that's like Moses. DTR. Define the relationship. Anybody ever heard that one? Define the relationship. Young people know what I'm talking about. But God wants to know, how's your relationship with him? Have you defined your relationship? What's your relationship like with God? You know, in social media, you know, we can be a fan. We can be a follower. We can be a friend. But how many know friends aren't really friends? What kind of relationship do you have with God? Because, you know, even people that say they're friends if it's convenient. They're friends if they want something. Or they can be friends if the other friend doesn't show up. What kind of friend are we with the Lord? Define your relationship. In our personal relationships, well, we can be just friends. We just hang out. Guys and girls, we just hang out. But then we can be at the place where all of a sudden, hey, we're a little bit more than friends. All of a sudden, we become boyfriend, girlfriend. Well, then we go a little further, and it's like, okay, it's formal. We're dating. Your status has changed on Facebook. Then you go from dating that all of a sudden now you're, hey, there's a commitment level here of exclusivity. So now we're dating. We're going to get engaged. Well, then from engagement, well, then it's covenant. Then it's like till death do us part. Where's our relationship with the Lord? Because to be honest, we could be dating the Lord. We'll just hang out once in a while, you know, and maybe it's something else is better. I'll just put you on the side and I'll go over to this one, you know. We're just sort of friends dating and it's all good. We get to an engagement where we say this is it, but is it really exclusive? Is there really that exclusivity? Is there a covenant relationship between you and God? In the book of Exodus, God shows up to the nation one day. They crossed out of Egypt. Go to the Red Sea, they stand before this mountain, God shows up. And all of a sudden God shows up and, you know, it's not just hey, let's have coffee together. And God says, hey, you know, you got to sanctify yourselves 3 days. Don't let anybody touch the mountain. And all of a sudden God's voice is heard. There's lightning, there's thunder. You know, like it's just like the best kind of party ever. Everything's happening in the heavens. And the people turn to Moses and say, Moses, you go talk to him. we don't like this deep voice kind of thing coming at us, and he's scary, he's going to kill us, you know. We don't like this relationship that appears. So God, Moses, you go talk to him for us. And God's call is to all of us to come into a presence with him where we're face to face. The scripture we read says that then suddenly you recognize that God is a living, personal presence, not a piece of chiseled stone. He's not a flannel graph. He's not a handout in kids' Sunday school. He is living presence that abides in us. And he wants to talk to us. Now, if that doesn't blow your mind, I don't know what will. God's personally present, a living spirit, that old constricting legislation, the rules and regulations. And some of us, we live under that religious spirit where it's all about do's and don'ts. If I do enough, if I check the boxes enough, God will be happy with me. But God says, I want to do away with that. I want to take that religious, that rules, the regulations, all about where you have to do something, and I want to take the barriers away where you now want to do it. You want to pursue me. You want to love. You want to have a relationship. You want to have the grace of God flowing in your life day by day. God wants to get to the place where there's nothing between us. What's between you and the Lord? What is it that's between you and God, having face-to-face conversations where you can open up and be honest? That you don't have to go into some sort of spiritual voice, yay, O Lord, thou magnificent one, ominous with your presence. You are so strong. You know, where all of a sudden we go into that deep voice where we have to say something right so God hears us. Where we can go and just say, God, man, I blew it yesterday. God, my life's a mess. I can't believe what's going on inside of me. God, I wouldn't want to be with me. Why do you want to be with me? God says, because I'm yours. I created you. I love you. And we get to that place where it's so face-to-face, nothing. And then the scripture tells us that when we get to that face-to-face, here's the great thing about it, that all of a sudden his shining face gets on our face. We start shining. And then it says we start to look like him. Isn't that a crazy thing? That if we get in the presence of God enough, face-to-face with him, we start looking like God. In our character, in our attitudes, in who he is becomes who we are. And something, it says, like Messiah in the transfiguration, it says we're transformed much like him. Just like Jesus was transformed on the Mount of Transfiguration, something happens to us because we're in his face enough that we become like him. Can you imagine what your marriage would be like if you looked more like God? Could you imagine what your family would be like if you as a mother and a father all of a sudden looked more like God? What your workplace would be like? But that only happens because of that face-to-face relationship. And you have to experience God for yourself. I was talking to somebody the other day, asking about the holidays and how great it was. And I made that mistake. Tell me a little more, I said. And all of a sudden, he says, well, let me tell you. Talk about where they went and all the magnificent things they saw and how great it was. And I was just so magnificent, you know. They talked about the dinner they had and all the food that they've never seen before and the abundance and how great it was and the flavors and all these things. And then I'm just looking at them. And then he says this one line. Well, I guess you had to be there. Yeah, I guess I had to be there. When it comes to opening up the Word of God, looking at the beautiful stories, the accounts, all the things that God lays out for us, I don't want to get to a place where my life looks back and says, well, I guess you had to be there. No, God says you can be there. You can enter into the things that God has for us by encountering him. That you don't have to listen to your neighbor and what happened to them in their life. God says, I open the invitation to every one of you to come into that kind of relationship where you too can give an account, where people ask, what's going on in your life? And then all of a sudden they come away, well, I guess I had to be there. Yeah, come on Sunday. The same thing that happens to me will happen to you. You know, people talk about churches. They go, hey, I don't know, what's going on in that church over there? Why is things taking place? What's going on over there? And it's like, you got to be there. Don't ask me to tell you what it's like. Let me invite you to see what it's like. It says there that we can become like him. Jeremiah 29:13 says this. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. The Message Bible says, when you come looking for me, you'll find me. Yes, when you get serious about finding me and wanting it more than anything else, I'll make sure it won't be a disappointment. When we come to the house of God and we have church, what is church? Church is creating an environment for individuals and corporate encounters with God. That's all it is. Church ain't a social club. Church ain't just people coming here to make me happy or listen to musicians or anything like that. Everything that's done here is about making an environment for you to encounter God. So when you leave, you go home, keep the encounter. You keep pressing in and pursuing God, so you become more like God because you've been face to face with God for a whole week. When we come to the house of God, just going to give you a couple thoughts here. Number one is that we need an encounter, not an explanation. That when we meet with God, all of a sudden, we're able to come up with a couple verses and a couple testimonies and get off Wikipedia what God's all about. We become the encounter. We become the example. Our lives are what is the answer. It's interesting, in John 9, a blind man comes to Jesus and he gets healed, right? So the blind man goes to the religious community. And the religious community says, you were what? You were blind, but now you can see? Their question is, who did it? How did it happen? What words were said? Was it one hand or two hands were they laid on? Was there oil? Was there some sort of performance of done around you? How did you get healed? And he goes to the religious community. He grabs the mic out of their hands. And all he simply says in John chapter 9, he says, this is all I know. I once was blind, but now I see. Boom. Because of an encounter. It was no doctrinal, theological explanation. It's just, I was changed. And that's what church is. We come together for an encounter. But also, we need presence, not practice. We, through the week, we got a team practicing, we got preparing, we got children's ministry, we got custodians, whatever else is going on. And it's all about making this a place where people can come and have an encounter with God. But let me tell you, it doesn't matter our musicians and how much they practice. It doesn't matter how much that they put into it. It doesn't matter about the sermon preparation. Because ultimately, if we don't have the presence of God, all we've got is an activity-based situation where nobody gets changed. Look what happens in Romans 8:11. It stands to reason, doesn't it, that if the alive and present God who raised Jesus from the dead moves into your life, hallelujah, he'll do the same thing that he did in Jesus, bringing you alive himself. When God lives and breathes in you, and he does as surely as he did in Jesus, you're delivered from dead life. When his spirit is living in you, your body will be alive as Christ was alive. When God is present, when the encounter is there, God says, I can change you from dead to living. Now, I don't know about you, but I know in my body, there are dead things. In my spirit, there are dead things. There's dead attitudes, wrong thinking. I need an encounter to change that. And God says his presence will take what's dead and make it alive. Your hopes might be dead. God will make them alive. You might be discouraged in areas of your life. And all of a sudden you say, yeah, I want to give up on that. It's dead to me. God says, let me make it alive. The encountering with God is taking that resurrection spirit and putting it into your marriage, putting it into your home, putting it into your family, putting it into that prodigal son and daughter. My spirit, when it comes into your life, can take what's dead and make it alive. That's why when we call people down for prayer, it's not to see how many people we can get down here. It's about seeing you make a step of faith that says, I want what God is offering, and I'm willing to step out and come forward and say, God, I need it. That's what the encounter is all about. When there's special moments in time at your home and at your places of work, wherever, those things can happen. But there's something that happens when faith comes together and we come together praying for one another and we step out and come to the front for a particular time of prayer and we say, God, I need it. God meets us in that desperation. That's what happens when we come at a time of prayer. How does this take place? Tell me, Pastor, how does it happen? Well, I'm glad you asked. All right, let me give you an example out of Bob. We're going to do three encounters over the next few weeks. Let me give you one brief encounter here in Jacob's life. Jacob has an encounter with God face to face. In the Bible, it would be called first mention. It's the first place in the Bible such an event takes place. So we can go back to it and find particular truths that apply for our lives. All right. So in Genesis chapter 32, we're going to look at. But let me give you some backstory on who this Jacob guy is. In the Old Testament, we not only have, in the book of Genesis, Adam and Eve, but we have some families that make their way through. And we come to the patriarchs by the name of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jacob is the grandson of Abraham. Now, Jacob was one of a twin. Rebekah and Isaac have children, and in the womb of Rebekah's twins. And there's a struggle inside the womb, and the Bible records that struggling going on there, and there's two nations that God says that are at war against each other. But as the children are born, Esau comes out first. Esau comes out first, but out of the womb, we've got this young Jacob reaches up and literally grabs the heel of his brother. And hence his name Jacob, which means heel supplanter or heel grabber. And it means deceiver, means manipulator. And Jacob would live his life with that character in him, where he was constantly lying and deceiving to get what he wanted, including his brother's birthright and blessing. One day as they're older, You got to understand, Esau. Esau is a hairy man, it says. It says he was a large man. He was a hunter. He was a man's man. Cabela's was where he hung out, all right? That everything was about that kind of life, all right? Jacob, he was a mama's boy, all right? Two different kind of guys, all right? But one day, there's Esau out hunting, and he's doing his grunt, pulling all the animals. Yeah, let's devour this thing, all right? Comes home, and he looks at Jacob and says, man, I'm hungry. He says, I'm hungry like I'm going to die kind of hungry, all right? Well, Jacob goes, opportunity. He's got a pot of stew. He says, well, you know, brother, I want your birthright, which is a right to a double portion of dad's blessing. He says, give me your birthright, I'll give you some stew. And the guy says, birthright's no good to me if I die. So, okay. So he gets the birthright from him. But it wasn't enough. Jacob also wanted the father's blessing. He had a desire for spiritual things. Esau didn't. And he wanted it, but he went about it with deceit. So on his father's deathbed, mom helping him a little there because, again, mama's boy. But he goes in and puts on animal skins, and because his brother was all hairy and had the smell of venison on him. And he goes in and he deceives his dad to put a blessing on him, the blessing of the firstborn, which was a blessing of favor and grace and expansion and finances, all these things. And gets that blessing. And his brother comes in and he starts, what? Is there no blessing for me? He says, sir, I gave it to your brother. I didn't realize who it was and all these kind of things. So then all of a sudden there's a wedge of hostility, hatred, anger between the brothers, civil rivaling like crazy, all right? So over the years, Jacob's living this deceitful, manipulative kind of life. He goes to his uncle Laban, all right? And he goes to Laban, and Laban's got a couple daughters there, Leah and Rachel. And he loves this Rachel. Man, that she's just, woo, she's got sparkle in her eyes and everything. So he says, you know, I want to marry her. And Laban says, hey, this is awesome. You worked for me for 7 years, and you can have her. All right, you guys got off easy, just letting you know, all right, some of you guys, all right? 7 years of labor to get her, all right? So he gets it, he marries her, it's all good, the night comes along, all of a sudden he's now, he's going in with his wife, and all of a sudden he wakes up in the morning, and it wasn't Rachel, it was Leah. Dad put the firstborn daughter in instead of Rachel. He woke up to another woman, not a good idea, all right? All of a sudden he's like, what? That's not the one I worked for. So the Bible says for 7 more years, he had to work to get Rachel. So here's this guy working 14 years, and it says his wages were changed 10 times. Man, there's something in him. He's fighting against his, this uncle's deceiving him. This uncle's like manipulating him. Hello. Not that I believe in karma, but there you go. All right. All right. And all of a sudden, he gets mad. He picks up and he leaves. He grabs his wives and his children and all his stock. And he just up in the middle of the night just runs. And he does what many of us do. Then when things get so bad, chaotic, we don't run to God. We run from God. And God needed to get a hold of him. So now we've got Esau coming to Jacob. He's got all his wagons and his trains and everything coming to see his brother. And Jacob thinks, this is it. I'm done. My brother's coming after me. Last time we met, he was madder than a junkyard dog. All right, he was just so upset. What am I going to do? So all of a sudden, he tries to devise a plan, and all of a sudden, we find then in Genesis chapter 32, verse 24. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now, this was no ordinary man. Most of you have capital M in your Bible, or you might even have an angel. And what it is really, as we find through the Word of God, a Christophany, which is a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ, where the Son actually made an appearance as an angel would, and he came in, and he's the one wrestling. God himself wrestling, as it were, with Jacob, all right? And for some of us, to begin to be having that face-to-face relationship with God is going to take a wrestling match, where you've got to be willing to get a hold of God and let God wrestle out of you your independence, your pride, where it's all about you, your manipulation, your deception, where you've got control of your life. It might take a wrestling match where all of a sudden the smallest thing is God needs to wrestle out of you. Maybe something in worship where all of a sudden God says, hey, I need you to start raising your hands. Not raising my hands. My hands are just fine in my pockets. I want to make sure my money stays there. I don't need to worship God. Some of you might be wrestling just coming to God, just coming to church. I go once every month. I don't need to go more than that. I'll listen on the podcast, and I don't need part of the body of Christ. Maybe God needs to wrestle out of the area of tithing, finances. God, church always asking for money, money this, money that. Okay, God, I'll put in 20 bucks. Well, that wasn't much of a wrestling match. So what's going to happen? God's going to wrestle some more. God needs to wrestle out of us that independence that says, God, I'm not going to do it my way anymore. I'm going to do it your way. And God gets him alone to the place where all of a sudden something can happen. Look at the rest of the passage, verse 25. Now, when he saw that he did not prevail against him, that Jacob wasn't prevailing or couldn't lose out, that the angel was, or God was winning, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaks. But he said, I will not let you go, Jacob says, unless you bless me. So he said to him, what is your name? And Jacob said, Jacob. And he said, your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel, for you have struggled with God, wrestled with God and with man, the man inside, and you've prevailed. Then Jacob asked, saying, tell me your name, I pray. And he said, what is it that you ask me? My name. He blessed him there. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved or changed or delivered. Just as he crossed Peniel, the sun rose and he limped on his hip. God asked, God, why would you wrestle with this guy and even touch him on the hip so that he walks with a limp the rest of his life? Because sometimes God's got to get a hold of our life to the point that we come out with a limp, that we realize I can't do this on my own. That my life is forever marked by the grace of God that came and wrestled me out of mercy. Because if he would have left Jacob alone, who knows what would have happened to Jacob? Who knows? He was going to become one of the heirs of God, and the generations to follow would come out of Jacob. And who knows what's going to come out of your life if you won't let God wrestle with you and get out of you your independence, me, my independence, my selfishness, my desire to control my own life. God says, I come willingly to wrestle it out of you. And the truth is this. God won't have a place of authority in your life until you have a place of weakness where you say, only God can do it. Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe it's your finances. Maybe it's a restored relationship where you finally say, God, I can't do it. God's authority will only take place when there's a place of weakness. But you know, if you don't initiate it, God will come after you. That's the loving God we have. He pursues us. He chases us down. He gets a hold of us so he can make a change in our lives. In this wrestling match, the man of God, the God man, as it were, says, let me go. Jacob says, I will not let you go until you bless me. Is there not that desperation in your life? That desperation says, God, I won't let you go. I won't let you go unless you bless me, unless you put something so deep inside of my spirit, my soul, because I am tired of living this life. I'm tired of living empty. I'm tired of living hopeless. I'm tired of living with a brokenness inside of me. I need you to make a difference in my life. What's your name? Jacob. He put out confession. This is who I am. I'm a deceiver, a manipulator. I'm one that wants it my way. All right. Now that you can own up to it, you're no longer going to be Jacob. You're going to be Israel, meaning prince with God. You've wrestled that out of you now. I can now use you and change your name, put a new character in you. Jacob says, now tell me your name. And I love this. He says, why are you asking me my name? You don't need head knowledge. You don't need intellect. You don't need some sort of formula. You don't need just knowing something. You need an encounter. He says, so he blessed him. He put inside of him the favor and grace of God to change his life. We don't need more knowledge. We don't need more preaching. We need an encounter. We don't just need the word. We need the power behind the word. We don't just need people telling us their stories. We need the story in us. We need the encounter in us that our lives are changed. Jacob calls the place Peniel because I saw God face to face. He had his own encounter. My desire for you this year, will you have an encounter that's face-to-face? Not at distance, not through me social media, not through a podcast, not through anything but a face-to-face coming together with God Almighty. Let me motivate you with three very quick things of why you should have this encounter. Team can come. Number one, new strength. Anybody here need some strength? Anybody here losing some strength when it comes to your marriage, your relationships? You just don't have it all together. You're tired, you're exhausted, you're hopeless. Some area, you need some new strength. Listen to Isaiah 40, verse 29. He gives power to the weak. Come on, who's weak? He says, I'll give power to you. He says, those that have no might, I'll increase your strength. Even the youths, come on, the youth, you shall fall. He says, a young man, they're not going to make it on their own. But it says, they that wait on the Lord. That word wait is not sit idly by and be silent. It means to weave like strands into a rope. Weave your life into God. And he says, if you do that, you will mount up with wings as eagles. You'll be able to not just be earthbound. You will soar, it says. You will go above your circumstances. You'll be able to rise up and have greater things go on in your life. You will run and not be weary, faint and not walk and not faint. And I believe if you constantly say, I got this. If that's your word, I got this. I got it. My business, I got it. My relationship, don't worry about it, I got it. Until you say, I don't got it, God can't come in and make a difference. You've got to be able to say, I give up. I give up. Secondly, new identity. No more Jacob, now Israel, prince. Isaiah 43 says this, forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland in the desert. God brings new life, new ways, new strength, new streams, new vibrancy, a new identity. You don't just say, I give up. You call out and say, God, change me. Let me be more like you. And lastly, with Jacob, there was a new joy. He was no longer a pretender. You know, the pretender is people ask you, hey, how's it going? It's great. It's all good. No, it's not. You put on the face where everybody says, oh, you've got it all together, but you don't. Jacob, man, he could look good in front of everybody. But when he got in front of God, all of a sudden the manipulation, the deception, everything of who he really was laid bare. Why do you need to go face to face with God? Because you need to get real. You need to get authentic. You got need to be somebody like Jacob who says, hey, this is who I am. What can you do with me? He changed his name. He became somebody else that he was meant to be. Psalm 16:11. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Identity, strength, joy. He blessed them. How many say that's a good reason to have an encounter? Can I encourage you? When you come on Sundays, expect an encounter. Through the week, get face to face with God. Call out in God. Get into the place, the secret place. We're going to talk about prayer. And the week of 21 to 28, we're going to have a week of prayer. We're going to have even places available for prayer during the week. But we're believing as we come to the 28th, which, by the way, is our second year anniversary, and we have a great celebration taking place on the 28th. Enjoy Life, that church that we always go to and we always help out with over there. They're all coming here. They say, we want to celebrate with you your second anniversary. So that church is going to come and bless us. But we're going to have a time of prayer that week. And I'm going to instruct you a little more in prayer as we make our way through the week. But would you stand up here this morning? I want to pray a blessing over your life. And I'm going to get to this actually through the teachings. But out of Numbers chapter 6, it's the beautiful priestly prayer of Aaron. And I want you to hear the word face and countenance in this. The Lord said to Moses, the high priest at that time, speak to Aaron, the priest, and his son, saying, this is the way you're going to bless the children. Here's my blessing for you for this week. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you, bless you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And so they shall put my name on the children of the Lord. Lord, I pray right now, God, put your name on them. With your name comes everything, Lord, of who you are. Put your name on them, Lord. Touch their homes, their families, their marriages, their finances, their jobs. God, the struggles they have, come and minister to them. But God, put in every heart a yearning, a hunger to be with you face to face. God, that we can get closer to you. Let the journey begin one step closer, one drawing closer to you and who you are. God, I thank you for a day of celebration, of worship, of communion, baby dedication, of word. And God, now celebration. We celebrate you. Lord, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ and you're here today, and you're here and you think you're here by chance, you're not. The Lord orchestrates our moves. Perhaps you today need to say, Lord, I need forgiveness of my sins. Wash me. Let me have that relationship where I can become more like you because I'm tired of being like me. And if you need forgiveness of sins that you can have that eternal life, would you just raise your hand that I can pray with you? You've never said, I need the Lord. Today, you know you need Jesus in your life. You want the question of eternity dealt with. You want shame and guilt gone inside of you. That comes through forgiveness. If you need prayer today, as we're going to dismiss after this worship song, and we're going to go to fellowship, stick around. Many new people here want to meet you, want to talk to you. My wife, Lori, and I just love pastoring this house. But if you have any prayer, needs for prayer, you want to encounter God for something, come down and we want to pray with you. Let's end the song here with Julie, why don't you lead us in the song?